Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
I think that we have made good progress on the road to peace.
But there's a bump in the road as well. Having dragged Jordan, Syria, and the Palestinians into a proposed Middle East peace conference later this month, Secretary of State James Baker failed in Jerusalem this morning to win Israel's acceptance. But he remained optimistic that Prime Minister Shamir will win cabinet approval on Sunday, the day before Washington and Moscow plan to issue invitations.
I hope and believe that the government of Israel, when the matter is presented to them, will decide to continue on their current course and move forward for peace.
Publicly, Shamir said only the peace conference proposal will be put to a future government meeting. BBC correspondent Alex Brody sought clarification from a Shamir spokesman.
It is not the next cabinet meeting. This is procrastination, isn't it?
It's a possibility. He ruled out the possibility that it will be in the next cabinet meeting. So he said it very clearly, and we'll wait and see.
More on this highly intricate diplomatic maneuvering now from CBS News State Department correspondent Bill Plant.
The pieces continue to fall into place. Soviet Foreign Minister Boris Pankin has just announced that the USSR is restoring formal diplomatic relations with Israel. That's all part of the deal for a peace conference. There was a meeting this morning between Secretary of State Baker and Prime Minister Shamir, after which the Israelis still had not said yes to a peace conference. But more to the point, they had not said no. Shamir and Baker say there are still disagreements which must now go before the Israeli cabinet. But Baker, in diplomatically couched but perfectly clear language, made the point that in order to have any kind of peace process, it was necessary, in his opinion, to leave some issues unsettled. In plain language, he was telling the Israelis, take it or leave it. Earlier, Baker met with the Palestinians who have been named to the Palestinian delegation, and he told reporters later that they all appeared to him to meet Israel's criteria. That is, no visible links to the PLO and no one from East Jerusalem. But Baker did not give the list to Shamir. Despite the fact that Shamir failed to come through today, Israel is still expected to agree, but it is obviously not happy about it. It feels very much squeezed by the United States. Baker and Pankin could still announce today that their governments will be having a peace conference with invitations to follow shortly. Bill Plant, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Yugoslav leaders meeting at The Hague have issued immediate orders for an unconditional ceasefire. They did so at the start of new European Community-led peace talks. But at last report, heavy fighting was still going on as word spread of this 10th ceasefire. The Yugoslav army and Croatian forces have agreed to a local ceasefire starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time today until late Sunday to allow a convoy of emergency aid to enter the besieged town of Vukovar. Prospects for foreign aid for the former Soviet Union have worsened with the defection of a key republic from an economic union treaty. Details from Anthony Mason.
President Gorbachev is throwing a signing party for his new economic treaty in the Kremlin this afternoon, but at the last minute, one of his most important guests has canceled. Officials of the Ukraine, the second most powerful republic, declared yesterday the treaty did not take their objections into account, and they will not sign the document. At the same time, officials from Russia, the largest republic, say they will sign, but warn their parliament won't ratify the treaty without 17 major changes. Those decisions throw into turmoil Mikhail Gorbachev's efforts to hold the Union together and create some kind of economic framework which Western experts insist is essential for Soviet recovery. The Ukraine, with 52 million people, supplies a quarter of the Soviet Union's food, and President Gorbachev has said he can't imagine a union without them. But Russian Vice President Alexander Rutskoy yesterday disagreed. I don't know if the Ukraine will survive without Russia, he said, but I definitely know Russia will survive without the Ukraine. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Moscow.
Meeting in Harare, Zimbabwe today, the 50 Commonwealth nations have lifted sports, educational, and cultural sanctions against South Africa. Texas Governor Ann Richards today attends a memorial for the 22 people murdered Wednesday in a Killeen cafeteria. As Scott Pelley reports, Killeen is a town in stunned mourning.
The memorial services began last night in a city still measuring its loss. While the healing began, the mystery only deepened. An exhaustive search for clues has revealed little about the killer, George Hennard, or his motive. Killeen Police Chief F.L. Giacomozzi.
The actor, in this case, Hennard, is the only one who truly knows. He can't communicate with us anymore.
In searches of Hennard's home, police say they have found nothing to suggest that he planned or even seemed capable of the cafeteria massacre. In his hometown of Belton, Hennard was largely unknown. Those who met him describe a man who felt he was persecuted and say he blamed others for his problems, especially women. Susan Washburn is a realtor who was working to sell the Hennard home.
Rude. I don't know any other word to describe him. I went away from there both times thinking that's a very rude person.
Preliminary tests show Hennard was not on drugs during the killings. Police now admit they may never know what triggered the rampage. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Killeen, Texas.
Convicted killer Michael Van McDougal was executed by lethal injection early today at North Carolina's Central Prison. Seven sugarcane workers were killed early this morning near South Bay in South Florida. The station wagon taking them to work plunged into an irrigation canal. South Korean police say a farmer, angered at being turned away from a nightclub in Daegu, came back with gasoline and set fire to the dance floor. At least 16 people killed. About 170 British oil workers were helicoptered to safety today from three storm-tossed oil rigs in the North Sea. One man was killed on a fourth when a 40-foot wave shifted a container that crushed him. Atlanta's Peachtree Street erupted in celebration last night as the Braves captured the National League pennant, beating the Pirates 4-0 in Game 7 of their playoff series. Correspondent Bob McEwen reports on the cellar-to-series Braves.
When the Braves last won a pennant, Eisenhower was president and the team played in Milwaukee. 3 decades and 3 years later, their decisive win in the decisive seventh game against Pittsburgh has finally sent manager Bobby Cox and his Atlanta Braves to the World Series. Before this season, no club had ever gone from last place 1 year to the World Series the next. The Braves are the second to do it this week. They'll face the surprising champs of the American League, the Minnesota Twins, and their notorious fans at the Metrodome, Atlanta first baseman Brian Hunter.
They're going to have the home advantage because their fans are wild too, but when they come to Atlanta, our fans are just as wild, so it's going to be a great series.
In a Cinderella season, the Atlanta Braves say they're not about to let go of the glass slipper now. Series MVP, Brave pitcher Steve Avery.
It's been motivation all year long. The Dodgers said we couldn't catch them. They weren't worried about us. And now we pulled it out. It's a great feeling.
The World Series opens in Minnesota tomorrow. And in this unpredictable baseball season, only one thing is certain. The winner will become the first team ever to go from last place to the World Championship. Bob McEwen, CBS News, Pittsburgh.
Housing starts fell over 2% in September, breaking a five-month string of gains and raising fresh doubts about the recovery. The dollar is lower overseas, London gold up $2, and on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 8.72. It's 7:10.